We're going to be talking about personal revival today. A lot of the meetings, a lot of things we've been saying, a lot of prayer meetings we've been having, have this word revival has been kicked around, brought up, thought of, prayed at. We're going to talk about personal revival today. And we need, thank you for reminding me of what I forgot. We need a volunteer or two in the what grade, baby? 2 to 3 year olds. We got some 2 to 3 year olds who need some adult supervision. Can we get somebody to help them? Let me tell you, a key to personal revival is taking opportunities to serve. Thank you, Miss Alicia. Thank you, thank you. Oh, it looks like Miss Brittany's going out there too. Thank you all. Thank you guys. Appreciate that. Having 4 kids, I know what unsupervised 2 and 3 year olds look like and the damage they can do in a short bit of time, so that was good. We're going to talk about personal revival, and I just want you to hear this scripture and get a sense of what's going on, and then maybe we'll ask God to show us what's going on in our life, where we are, maybe what we look like from His point of view, and see what we can do about these things. Starting in verse 11 of chapter 17 of the book of Luke. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And so when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice, glorified God. And he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Let's pray. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for your willingness to look upon our leprosy and our faith, to cleanse us and to receive our praise. And Father, I'm asking this morning that you would give a revival in the heart of those people of yours who are seeking it, speaking about it, praying for it. It has to start somewhere, Lord, and so here we are, send us. Help us to be those in the 10% that return to glorify God and give thanks. Help us within this place to be those who recognize a cleansing that's supernatural and they don't give over it, but take it personal and fall on our face. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to describe the scripture to you because it's in this that we find the keys really to personal revival. Jesus was going on his way in the book of Luke where we find this. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. He's on the way to the cross. He's on his way to die the death that he died for you and me. Luke makes a dramatic point about that in chapter 9 of the book of Luke. It says, "Now he set his face to go to Jerusalem." In other words, he was determined to go. And it's as he went to meet his purpose that he taught people, that he cleansed people, that he did these things. I just point that out because I like to take every opportunity to glorify the Lord Jesus, who even in the moment of heading towards Jerusalem and death was mindful of other people. I'm telling you, he's the most awesome. And here he is in Samaria and in Galilee. Really, this is home country for him. Remember, he had his ministry around Galilee most of. He was raised in Nazareth, which is by Galilee. And that's where he's from. This is kind of his home. And he's heading through home. And he sees these fellas see him, and they have leprosy. I had to look up leprosy. I thought I was pretty familiar with leprosy, but I decided to look it up. So I read about it. Then I decided to look at some pictures, and they're nasty. They're not going to be up here on the screen. That's where you say, amen, thank you, John. Because leprosy is a type of bacterial infection. And it attacks the skin, it attacks the nerve endings of the skin, it attacks a lot of times where, like tear ducts, mucus, saliva areas. It does attack over the whole body, but what it does is it deadens the feeling, it deadens the nerves. It's almost, I saw a word like it, but it's almost like neuropathy, where the feeling in your skin dies. And your skin grows old looking, and it gets white looking or splotchy. And if it gets bad enough, and you lose the feeling in your fingers and your extremities. So I always thought leprosy made stuff fall off of you. Haven't y'all heard that? Leprosy make your fingers and your toes fall off. Well, it doesn't. It just deadens the feeling in them. And then you end up hitting it on something, and you don't know that you cut it. You don't know that you hurt yourself, and you end up getting gangrene, and you end up going through this whole process. Then you lose body parts through this disease. This disease is a deadening of feeling in the skin. It's a deadening of the nerves. So much so, it'll overtake. It causes blindness. It's horrible. Okay. These guys who had the leprosy, they understood they had a horrible disease. And they stood afar away from Jesus, and they called out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Let me say, these guys understood they had a problem. Nobody had to go to them and say, you got a problem, buddy. They knew it. They had to cover up. Sometimes this disease will make your face swell up so much, you look. They call it lion-faced. You look like a lion. It just puffs up out of all proportion. They knew they had trouble. Somehow they came to understand also that Jesus was going to be the one who could help them in their trouble. Somehow or another, they understood that they needed to call on Jesus if they were going to have any help for their problem. And they call out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. This is a side note, but I think it's one worth taking. You know the great chant of the Old Testament saints? Oh Lord, have mercy upon us. Your mercy endures forever. This is the great chant that we hear from the Old Testament saints about God. When they sanctioned the temple, they sat back and they say, praise, the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. When they considered their own history, the Lord got us out. The Lord's good. He saved us from Egypt, and His mercy endures forever. There's something about the mercy of God that kind of wraps us up if we think about it. It's safe. It's secure. It's one of those points that the Old Testament saints constantly brought out. Have mercy. Your mercy endures forever. Read Psalm 136 one day. Let me just read a portion of it today since we're here and I'm referencing it. But I just want you to hear that call for mercy. Not the call that says, hey, I'm good enough, but just listen to this. Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to God. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods. For His mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endures forever. To Him alone who does great wonders, for His mercy endures forever. to him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. If you catch on to this, you just say it with me if you figured out the pattern already. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. For the sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. And the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. And the psalm goes on for another too many verses for me to do, especially when I look out and I don't see, you know, kind of much like,
I ain't saying mercy.
When you call out for mercy, like these lepers called out for mercy, you realize that you are in trouble. You can no longer rely on your own personal strength, your own personal resources. You need the help of another. That's what mercy means. It means I need you to help me to withhold these consequences, to save me from what's coming upon me because I cannot save myself. These lepers understood that they could not save themselves. So they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Jesus gives them a command. Go show yourself to the priests, he said. This was a command right out of the book of the Old Testament, right out of the book of Leviticus. If you had leprosy, you needed to have it confirmed by a priest. If you were cured of leprosy, you had to be confirmed by a priest before you were allowed back into the community. So you wouldn't, it wouldn't, you know, as a contagious thing, it wouldn't be passed on to anyone else. So he gives them this command and they do it. And as they do this command, as they follow Jesus' word and they start marching down the road to Jerusalem to show themselves to the priest, they were clean. They were cleansed. They had feeling. They felt the wind passing by their face. They felt the sun shining on them again. It would have been like being alive. They felt the ground with their feet. Let me tell you, somebody who's had maybe, I think, close to frostbite, if not all the way frostbite, on my feet. You lose feeling. I've lost feeling in my feet working out on the airport in Michigan to where it felt like I was hobbling because I couldn't feel my feet. And it was strange. It was hard to walk. These guys would have had a crippled, hobbled gait as they walked because of this disease. But somewhere, they're able to start walking again normally because they could feel the ground beneath them with their feet for the first time. They could feel. Maybe they were close enough to where they're holding on to each other to give each other support, and their hands felt the touch of another human hand and another human being for the first time in a long time. They knew through touch that someone else was with them, and their mind and their heart started to rejoice because they were healed. They were cleansed. One of those guys, so struck by what Jesus did for him, turns around, comes back to Jesus with a loud voice, with tears in his eyes, maybe for the first time again, because that's one of the things you lose is any kind of mucus production or tear duct production. All that has been shut down on this man, and he begins to cry and feel the tears roll down his cheek. Lord, thank you for how you cleansed me. God is awesome. I'm clean. I know that there is a God in heaven and he loves me. He's healed me. And he comes back to Jesus and he falls down at his feet. He gives him thanks. Gratitude. He just pours out gratitude. Thank you. I asked for mercy. You gave me mercy. And I want to say thank you. Now, before we get into Jesus' response, I want to make sure we're in line with this journey, okay? Not many of us deal with leprosy, physical leprosy. That time I got really bad into the poison ivy and my arm bubbled up, I thought I might have leprosy, but everybody assured me it was poison ivy. It was bad. But we don't deal with this. But when I realized what leprosy was, it was a loss of sensation in your physical body. It was a loss of sensation in your skin where you can't feel, you can't touch. I started to realize something about how prevalent spiritual leprosy really, really is. How prevalent it is that people lose their feeling for God. How prevalent it is people start losing their feelings for one another. How prevalent it is we seem to almost get isolated as if we are far off and we don't have anything anymore in common with the rest of humanity because we've lost that feeling. How our walk with Christ becomes hobbled. It's as if we don't know that we have a sure foundation anymore. And we become crippled looking in our spiritual walk and our face deformed and our eyes grow dry. And we lose that sense of who God is and where our mercy comes from and how great God is and how glorious He is. And I think, what must the spirit of a man look like who has known the Lord and then has withered and has grown cold? And has lost feeling and suffers loss of time and loss of years. You know, I work with folks who sometimes relapse into drugs and alcohol. I know of one man in particular who relapsed for 10 years. 10 years without having a sober day, 10 years without having a moment of clarity. Can't get those years back, man. That's loss. It's like losing a finger, isn't it? Or a hand or a foot because you totally lost feeling. You totally lost where you were. Men and women who lose their family and lose their friends because they have lost feeling. Their heart is callous. And it's as if they're withered. It's like their skin is that ashen white death color, but it's in their soul. It's like they have a leprosy, a neuropathy, a loss of love, a loss of care. There's a song. I'm going to try to sing it. I don't know if I can. I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to. It's by a man named Keith Green, who loved the Lord and wrote music. But I think he understood that he would go through times of spiritual leprosy. And he wrote this song. It says, "My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me." And he's sitting there in that song, just grabbed me and said, that's what spiritual leprosy looks like. My eyes are dry. I don't cry because I don't care. It's an apathy that creeps in, separates us from feeling. My heart or my faith is old. My faith is old. What happens when folks make a profession of faith sometime in their life and they go on, and it seems like the Jesus whom they couldn't shut up about and were obnoxious about, they don't much talk about anymore? It's not respectable. It's not a good time to talk about Jesus. Wouldn't be right. Wouldn't be prudent. Speak about Him by name. It's like their faith has grown old. Like your favorite pair of jeans or coat you used to wear doesn't really fit you anymore. It's old. It's out of style. It's not you anymore. Their faith is old. My heart is hard, he says. Be calloused. How many times in the Old Testament, how many times even in the New Testament do we hear, why is your heart so hard? Why are you doubting? Why is your faith so small? Why aren't you open to what God wants to do
with you. You once were open. Your heart once was on fire, soft, pliable, moldable, teachable. Now it's hard, like stone. Maybe because you've been through hurts and you've been through things. And it says, my prayers are cold. My prayers are cold. Whew. I know I got you on that. Because I know I got me on that. How many times have you caught yourself in your walk with the Lord saying a prayer because you got to? Because people expect you to? Because it's supper time? Or because it's bedtime? Or because it's morning time? Or because it's this time or that time? But you're just throwing something up in the air. You're just saying some words. Your prayers have grown cold. As the preacher, everybody wants me to pray. And I always try to have a prayer. But if it's just words, really you'd be better off praying for yourself. If I don't have an open heart, if I'm not willing to reach out and I don't have feeling for you, what is my prayer that's cold going to do? How is that going to unleash the power of heaven in your life? We just read in the book of James, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The cold, hard-hearted, old faith, dried-eyed prayer of a burnt-out saint does little to nothing. And it's not about that it's our prayer. It's about having that living connection with God, that feeling, which is exactly what this song and why I know Keith Green understood spiritual leprosy. He says, alive to you, and I know how I ought to be, alive to you and dead to me. In other words, sensitive to what you want, feeling what your will is, knowing the direction, Lord, that you have for me, and being willing to be alive unto you. So that's what leprosy does. It kills the skin. It kills the nerves. It kills it dead. No feeling, no sensation, blocks it. And so what Jesus did for these lepers was he made them feeling in their body again. I'm persuaded of this. Those who call on the Master, the Lord Jesus, and say, have mercy on me, who are suffering from a grave case of spiritual leprosy, they'll receive life again. That's what being revived means. It means to receive life again. If he can cleanse physical leprosy, he surely can cleanse spiritual leprosy. He surely can say, yes, be healed, be cleansed, be alive to me again. He can spark the fire in your heart again. This is the rest of the song. Oh, what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. Oh, Lord, with your spirit, would you work in me? Would you soften my heart? Would you begin to, like, give CPR and just soften that up and get the oil of the Spirit in there? Would you remind me of the blood that made me a new creation in Christ? Would you take me back to the mercy seat where I received my life anew? Would you remind me? Would you revive me? Oh, Lord, would you clean me? Have mercy on me, Jesus, my Master. One of your children who has grown cold, who's grown weary, who's been far from you. Draw me near again. Oh, one of my favorite movies is a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart. I wish I could do a Jimmy Stewart impression, but I can't.
He got overwhelmed in his life. If you remember that movie, he had a family, he had job responsibilities, just like y'all, just like me, just like human beings. And he got so depressed that he was thinking about taking his own life. He had gotten so hard-hearted that he didn't think about little Zuzu, his daughter, who would have been crying at his funeral wondering where her daddy was. He got so hard-hearted, he didn't know he was breaking the vow he meant to his sweet wife to be there for her, for better or worse. He got so hard-hearted, he didn't care about life or anything anymore. I don't know if y'all see that in that movie, but that's what happened. He didn't care about nothing. He had such a bad case of spiritual leprosy. He couldn't see anything but the problem. He was so hard-hearted. And God deals with him in a Hollywood angel kind of way. And by the end, the same bridge he was going to jump off of and take his own life, he prays, "Oh God, I want to live. Oh God, I want to live again." He got to see what a wonderful life he had, and he said, "I want to live again." You know, I believe this. Personal revival for the people of God is going to come when those people of God are willing to say, "Oh God, I want to live again. I've gotten far away from you, but I want to live again. I haven't been able to tell people about Jesus because Jesus hasn't been on my mind. He hasn't been on my heart. I haven't had that sense and that feeling for him anymore. And I need you to make me alive again." That's when personal revival begins. I want us to look at Jesus' response. The one returned in verse 15 with a loud voice glorifying God. He fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. I just want to say this real quick. There is no higher place in the Christian life than at the feet of Jesus. And if you've lost your habit of kneeling down and praying, envisioning yourself at the feet of Jesus, if you can physically kneel down, if you can't physically kneel down, it's really about having a humbled heart anyway. If you haven't in your mind's eye in a long time envisioned yourself at the throne of grace, kneeled before the living Lord Jesus, let me just say you're missing out something. Because that's the highest calling. The highest calling in Christianity is not to be a missionary or a pastor or the head of a denomination or any other thing. It's to be a worshiper at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving him thanks. When we're not thankful, it's because we're not mindful of what Christ has done for us in our life. That's the only source of ingratitude. We have allowed other things to crowd out what Jesus has actually done for us. We have allowed problems to get bigger than grace. We've allowed earth to become bigger than heaven. We've allowed the sons of men to become bigger than the Son of God. And we forgot. That's the only source of ingratitude. I forgot what he's done. I haven't called to mind. Y'all, we live in a very ungrateful. Gratitude's not always big for other folks, but first for God. If you woke up, you have reason to give thanks. If you woke up in a house, you have reason to give thanks. If you got dressed in clothes and they were clean, you have reason to give thanks. If you ate breakfast, you have reason to give thanks. Do you understand how extensive this list could get? Man, we just need to say, "Thank you, Lord." I wish I could. One of these days we'll hear his voice, because leprosy changes your voice. It just crushes things down. It warps your voice. When it says this leper came with a loud voice praising God and giving him thanks, his ears were hearing a voice that he hadn't heard in a long time. You know what I'm praying for? One of these days, up in this building, somebody here is going to get loose with the Lord while we're singing praises, and they're going to hear a voice come out of their mouth that they haven't heard in a long time, one of sincere praise and thanksgiving, and they go, whew, I remember this kind of freedom in the Lord where I didn't have all the tension and all the worry of the world binding me up and closing my throat down and changing who I am and just letting that voice come out. Whoa, that's going to be the harbinger of revival. I know it's harbinger. Amy looked at me like, it's harbinger. She didn't say that, but she was saying that on the inside. That, when you hear that, that's the harbinger of revival. He heard his own voice. Jesus responds. Listen to Jesus' response. Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? That's a response of expectation. There was 10 that were cleansed. Where are the 9? Where are the others? It was like strange to him. Where are they? Why haven't they expressed gratitude? He doesn't say that, but it's kind of like, it makes sense what this guy's doing. He's been cleansed. He's coming back to give thanks and praise. Where are the others? He asks another question. Were there not found any who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Let me suggest that this is a lot more than race right here. Let me tell you who, if he was the only foreigner among them, and the rest were Jews, the Jews had the Word of God. The Jews had the temple worship. The Jews had the priests. They had the prophets, the synagogues at that time, and the teaching and the law. They had church all the time, all around them. And it seemed like those who had the most were the ones who refused to return to give glory and gratitude to God. Y'all, we meet week after week. We open the bread of life. We share praise. Don't allow that to even harden your heart more from God. Allow it to instruct your heart and allow it to open your heart and not do the other. Harden it. Because it seems if the rest of these, the 9 who didn't return, if they were Jews, they had advantage. You know one of the things Jesus said to the Jews of his time? He says, y'all have it preached to you all the time, but the people who are going to get it are the people out here who are just hearing it for the first time. They're going to get it. And they're going to come in with a sincere heart, worshiping and praising God. They're going to get it. And you're going to miss it. Personal revival within Christ Community Church is going to require us to say, oh, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. To find that at His feet is the highest place. To give sincere worship and praise in a spirit of gratitude. This is what it looks like. Let me say one last thing. Well, Jesus, before I get to that one last thing, just to finish out what Jesus said, He reminds them of how all this happens, and it's so good, this reminder. Arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Faith isn't just what you get saved by in the Christian life. Faith is what you live by in the Christian life. Faith isn't just for the beginning. It's not just for the spiritual things. It's not just for the easy things. It's for all things. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher of our faith. Faith is the whole deal. Faith is what made this man well. Faith is what did the cleaning and the reviving and gave the, you know, and Jesus tells them that, and He's telling us that. It's not about get on your horse and do more works. It's not about be more something. It's about put your faith in Christ and let Him make your heart beat again. Let Him break your heart again. As far as going and doing, though, I do notice this. Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Go your way. Another harbinger of personal revival is when you put your feet back in gear, going where Jesus told you to go. He met the woman at the well, and He said, go invite your husband here. She says, I've had 5 husbands. I don't have a husband, she said. He says, that's right, you've had 5, and the dude you're shacking up with is not your husband. And she said, "That's right." He didn't beat her down. What did he say? "Go. You need to go." She went. He sent her. She became a sent one. These disciples, Peter, denied Jesus 3 times. How do we know he was in personal revival? Because at the end of the story, Jesus says, "Go, feed my sheep, feed my lambs," and Peter went. These lepers, Jesus said, "Go." They went. This one who came back, "Go." He went. The woman caught in adultery, he said, "If there's no one here to condemn you, honey, I don't condemn you either. Now go." The man who was freed from demonic possession, he wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, "No, you go back to your family and friends and tell them how good God's been to you." Personal revival comes when we realize that God has set us free, given us that beating heart again, revived us, brought life back into us, and then he sends us out and we go. We go. We go where he tells us to go. We say what he tells us to say. That's when we know we're in the midst of personal revival. That's available for you. That's available for me. I'm going to close just by saying the words of this song one more time. My eyes are dry. My faith is old. My heart is hard. My prayers are cold. And I know how I ought to be alive to you and dead to me. Oh, what can be done for an old heart like mine? Soften it up with oil and wine. The oil is you, your spirit of love. Please wash me anew in the wine of your blood. Lord, would you revive us? I said in the earlier prayer, those who are seeking, Father, I believe there's people in this room seeking personal revival with you. They desire you. They desire to be holy. They desire to walk with you. They desire to know you more. They desire to live and walk by faith. They desire to be feeling and alive to you. Father, would you answer that prayer today? The cry of that heart, that hard heart, that old faith, that cold prayer, those dry eyes. Father, would you convict and renew and revive? And what if it's just 1 out of 10, Lord? Father, I ask, would you please do it if it's just 1 out of 10? If it's 1 out of 10, would you still bring revival? Would you still show your mercy? Father God, thank you for who you are. Jesus, our Lord, thank you for how you pray and intercede for us that we might have revival. And bring it. Bring it, Lord. Bring it like the rain. Bring it on us. Renew a passion in a heart. I wonder if there's right now anybody who says, you know, I need to make this official with God. I need to make this official with God right now. Let me just tell you, these steps are a strange place to pray because of the size of them. But if you'll kneel up on one and you'll lay down on that stage, you can come up here and you can say, Lord, I'll be one who comes and gives thanks. I don't want to get out of this place without you doing the work in me. I don't want to get out of this place where I feel the Spirit moving because I haven't in so long. I don't want to get out of this place and not tell you, thank you for the mercy you've shown on me. I don't want to get out of here without having that opportunity, and that's before you right now. If you want to come and give God thanks and ask Him to do a work of reviving and enlivening in your heart, right now is the time. You come forward while the music's playing. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for decisions made up front in the seats, wherever. Decisions that need to be made that will be made later this week. Father, would you continue to do your work? And would you bring us back to a place of gratitude and revival and fervor and prayer and gratitude and thanksgiving and praise? Bring the feeling back. Bring back the tears. Renew our faith, and may our prayers be hot and fervent. And Father, we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think there's anything God can't do through his people. You might say, John, why would we pray for revival? Because I think the sky is the limit when the people of God are aligned in the will of God. I think the miraculous happens. And I want to see it. I want to see it in my life. I want to see it in this church.